Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody's having a fabulous day today. We're actually having some really nice weather down here in Florida with zero chemtrails, which is exciting. Nice clear blue skies, sea breeze, about 65 degrees outside. Excellent weather. How are you doing today, Dan?
Well, you just got everybody mad at us now, Austin. And, you know, you start talking about Florida weather. I mean, come on. I mean, everybody's going to be, they're weeping and gnashing of teeth right now. I want to say something that no one else is talking about, okay? You know, Supreme Court Justice, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she really isn't really, you know, hanging out much here anymore. She's kind of not even going to court anymore. And, you know, I don't see any videos of her talking, laying in a coma, whatever's going on with her. Nothing. She just kind of disappeared. And we're not getting any updates from her hospital room or her residence or wherever she is. And, I mean, we don't even know if the woman's alive, Austin. We have no idea. Her aides are going into the court, listening to the arguments, doing what they need to do, bring her the stuff. We don't know if she's writing anything, transcribing anything. We have no idea what's going on with the woman. Now, I want to start off with that because these Democrats, socialists, communists, you know, weirdos, collectivists, you know, pick a name. They really don't want another conservative Supreme Court justice. Not that I'm that convinced that Justice Roberts or Kavanaugh are that conservative. But the reality is they really don't want her in there. Now, let's talk about one second for a second about the Supreme Court and how these guys get in. But Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg will miss arguments for a second week, but no further medical treatments are planned for. In other words, she's not going to be in a hospital where anybody else can see her. They're saying this right on CNBC. Supreme Court Justice Bader Ginsburg will miss a second record week of oral arguments as she continues to recover from cancer surgery she underwent last month, court spokesperson Kathy Arberg said Friday. But Ginsburg's recovery is on track, and no further treatments are planned. And Ginsburg will continue to participate in the cases on the basis of briefs and transcripts of the oral arguments while in her residence, apparently. So I just think this is some really, really weird stuff. Now, let's talk about this for a second. Who appoints justices of the Supreme Courts? We know that the power to appoint Supreme Court justices belongs exclusively to the President of the United States. According to the U.S. Constitution, Supreme Court nominees, after being selected by the President, must be approved by a simple majority of 51 votes of the Senate. Under Article 2 of the Constitution, the President of the United States alone is empowered to nominate the Supreme Court justices. The requirement for the Senate to confirm the President's nominees for the Supreme Court justices on their high-level positions enforces the concepts of checks and balances between the three branches. They have to go through a committee hearing, a judiciary meeting, all this other kind of stuff, and finally they consideration by the full Senate. After receiving the recommendation of the Judiciary Committee, the full Senate holds its own hearing and debates the nomination, and the chairman of the Judiciary Committee leads the Senate hearing. We all know this. Now, it can take anywhere from 2 to 2.5, 3 months to get the stuff done because so many people are basically, you know, nominated and not approved or whatever. But we need to think through for just one second about all of this stuff, because how do we know that something else isn't going on behind the scenes? How do we know she's even alive? Now, I have heard enough talk about this, and I'm not saying she's dead. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, how do we know we haven't got some kind of corpse in a coma somewhere, basically with no brain activity, and they're going to basically take her fingerprints and put on documents or whatever she's going to do? I mean, we don't know. We really don't know, or use a retinal scan. I mean, we don't know what she's going to do. But the problem is, this is a major deal. Now, let me share something with you. When Untermyer, I'm going to tie this back to what we're talking about today. When Untermyer was blackmailing President Wilson with his affair at Princeton, one of the things he said to Wilson was, I'm going to go ahead and make this lawsuit go away. I'm going to take care of paying this woman off, but there's several things that you're going to do. We're going to get a Federal Reserve Act passed, and you're also going to put Brandeis into the Supreme Court. Now, Brandeis was a hardcore Zionist, hardcore Zionist. He was really good friends with Untermyer. Now, when Wilson basically put him in, Brandeis himself, him and Untermyer, Brandeis was instrumental. I'm reading, by the way, I'm reading from Wikipedia. So you guys can verify this. Brandeis was instrumental in shaping the new Federal Reserve argument and for Federal Reserve Act. His arguments have been decisive in breaking deadlock on banking issues. Wilson endorsed Brandon's proposals and those of Secretary of State William Jennings Bryan, both of whom felt that the banking system needed to be democratized and its currency issued to control by the government. They convinced Congress to enact the Federal Reserve Act in December 1913. Now, what was interesting about this, after this happened, there was a whole bunch of arguments for the next Supreme Court justices as far as being involved in the banking laws and being involved with the Rothschilds and being involved with everything else. Plus, Brandis was a socialist. People don't get this. He was basically raised, he was born in, I believe he was, he's an American lawyer, associate justice, Supreme Court of the United States from 1960 to 1939. He was born in Louisville, Kentucky, to Jewish immigrant parents from Bohemia, now the Czech Republic, who raised him in a secular home. He attended Harvard Law School, graduating at the age of 20 from Harvard Law, and is widely rumored to be the highest grade average in the law school's history. Brandis settled in Boston, where he founded a law firm that is still in practice today, and became a recognized lawyer through his work on progressive socialists, and I'm adding this, communist causes in the United States. He's also the one who pushed us into World War I to promote Zionists through the Balfour Declaration. Now, if you go to another biography about him on this Lewis Brandis biography, it says that he was a United States Supreme Court Justice and American Zionist leader. He was born November the 13th, 1856, in Louisville, Kentucky. And it goes on to detail all of the things that he did to promote Zionism. All of these guys worked together to push Zionism into the law schools, into the religious schools, into becoming a normal movement for people to believe in. And he was one of the hardcore Zionist promoters, him and Untermeyer, back in 1913, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, all the way up to the Balfour Declaration. Now, the reason I'm saying all of this stuff is, guys, we have to be really, really careful who and what we do as far as putting more people into the Supreme Court. We have to make sure that we get people into the Supreme Court that are conservative, basically constitutionalists, and who aren't a bunch of doggone Zionists and communists and socialists. It's very, very, very important that we do this. So, you know, we need to be praying that Donald Trump, if he gets another pick, which I believe he should, basically will be able to get another person who's conservative. I'm reading from this other article right here. It says, with the outbreak of World War I, it had become impossible for the World Zionist Organization to continue to administer activities from Germany, where its headquarters were located, or from any other non-neutral European country. The Center of Zionism was moved to the United States. A provisional executive committee for general Zionist affairs was formed, and Chief Justice Brandis was made the chairman of the Zionist Committee of the United States. American Zionism was soon reinforced by the mass exodus of the Palestinian Zionist leadership to America, who were exiled by the Turks owing to their Russian citizenship. All of this stuff happened with the breakup of the Ottoman Empire, and people don't understand how these guys kind of snuck their way in and did all this stuff. Brandis helped to organize the 1918 Pittsburgh Conference of the Zionist Organization of America, which evolved from the American Zionist Federation, at which that time was truly representative of American Jewry. The platform was remarkable for its synthesis of Zionism and progressive ideals. Now, this article's writing all of this stuff and saying how great this guy was. This is one of these positive biographies being written. Now, it's just, you can read the article yourself if you like, but the thing about it is, it was amazing what he did and how he pushed all of this through Woodrow Wilson and through Samuel Untermeyer, and how nobody even knows about this 100 years later. Now, here's why I say what I say. The other day, I was meeting with a gentleman here at the house. He's a contractor, and I was talking to him. He brought his son with him, and we were having a conversation. And the guy's very nice, and he tells me that he's Jewish, and I said, that's nice. And his son's sitting there. He said he was basically bar mitzvahed. And I said, that's nice. And basically, we were talking about what they believe. And his father had been actually a member of the Mossad. Showed me pictures of his father in a Mossad uniform. And what was interesting about all of this stuff, I said to them, I said, Israel's interesting right now. It's very, very progressive, very socialist. And they've had 16, 17 gay parades through Jerusalem. And the younger one said out loud, that's great. And I went, oh, okay. And I just dropped it because I knew where that was going. And here's the thing, guys. This is normal. for these hardcore leftist, progressive, socialist, communists to believe this way, and a lot of the guys who've been built, who basically have been indoctrinated into the school system. Now they're coming out and they're saying that the XY chromosome is all part of the transhumanism and also part of the transgenderism that's coming out. They're now saying, these leftist, socialist, progressives, that the XY chromosome is not now, they're saying that it's not the reason that we have male or female. Let me read you the article here. New study shows why X and Y chromosomes alone don't determine sex. And this says, it is by David Nefiel, and it says, you know, the scientists have discovered a new genetic regulator that plays a big role in determining whether a baby is born male or female, as well as whether or not the reproductive system is likely to develop differently at birth. Now, what they do here, they start talking about junk DNA, non-coding DNA, and all this nonsense. And they're saying that we have about 1 in 5,000 people basically have a problem as far as when they have sexual differentiation occurring during in vitro. In other words, when they're in utero, when they're inside their mother's belly in utero. Now, what's interesting about this is that what they don't do, and they don't even talk about here, is the effect of drugs and hormones on the developing fetus while the baby's in utero, inside of his mother's uterus. Now, this is a major problem because the drugs in the estrogens that are being put into the food supply and being used through soy protein change the developing fetus by increasing the estrogen levels in the mother, causing the sexual differentiation not to occur properly. That's why we have so many boys now who are basically soy boys, you call them, you know, with these really low testosterone levels, and girls who start menses so early and have all types of problems with the reproductive rates. Why is that happening? It's because we're being told that there's nothing here to think about what's going on, that there is nothing here to see as far as these different things that are causing these problems with these women and these children and all of this stuff. There's nothing here. But remember, guys, right now, we are at the first time we are at a situation in which we are below reproductive rates. Now, I've got my article pulled up. I couldn't pull up yesterday. Fertility rate for white women plummets below the limit needed to maintain the population in the U.S. Fertility rates for white women were low in the U.S. in every U.S. state in 2017, but up in 12 states for black women and up in 29 states for Hispanic women. The total fertility rate in the U.S., including blacks, whites, and Hispanics, was 16% below the level of population that replaced itself, total fertility. It was only higher than what was needed in two states, South Dakota and Utah. Experts say the reasons are likely due to the South Dakota's growth in the energy sector and Utah's large Mormon population. Now, everything they're doing here, trying to confuse you with XY chromosomes, trying to do all of this stuff, is to change the way you see what's going on at a national level as far as transgenderism. Now they're going to say you're not necessarily born with an X or Y chromosome that makes you a boy or a girl. You have a transgender issue that you may be another. And they're not even talking about what's going on from a hormonal standpoint. $3.5 trillion a year, America's healthcare system has now become one of the world's largest money making scams. This is a really good article. The U.S. healthcare system, if it was a country, it would have the fifth largest GDP on the entire planet. At this point, only the United States, China, Japan, and Germany have a larger GDP than the healthcare system in the United States. Why? Because they don't promote health. They promote disease and how to maintain the disease and needless testing over and over and over and over and needless surgeries over and over and over and over, because this is how they control the medical Rothschild Rockefeller medical complex. If they had a cure for cancer right now, they simply would not release it, because the cure for cancer would prevent them from creating billions and hundreds of billions of dollars in revenue. I've got a friend who basically had jaw surgery last year, and she had some cancer in her jaw, and basically they wanted to go to another surgery. And she's been fighting now. It's been almost a year. She goes, I'm now undergoing another surgery at UAB on January the 23rd for vein and skin grafting for my left wrist to place inside the jaw and cheek. The tissue inside the cheek never healed due to the combination of prior surgeries, which left behind only a very thin layer of outer skin. And then the radiation in that area destroyed any remaining tissue. The inside of the left cheek is still completely inflamed. The surgeon is able to see the green color from the titanium plate through the outside of the skin of the jawbone is exposed through the hole that was left from the infections. Okay? That end up may end up being a complete failure of the vascular in the jawbone, making everything a complete failure. Surgeon wasn't happy. Imagine how she feels. Now, what's interesting, she goes, also the prior surgeries resulted in a pretty severe asymmetry to the left and right sides of my lip and chin. To correct the surgeon, now listen to this. Listen to this, guys. You've got to listen to me on this. To correct this, the surgeon injected a large and painful amount of Botox, 5 shots to the right chin and lip area, so it would drop in line with the left side. A large needle was used, and it was excruciatingly painful. Now, I could go on and on with this, but guys, think about that for a second. Think about what this poor lady has endured because she chose the medical model. And, of course, it's not just this. This is going to go on and on and on and on and on. Why is it going to go on? Because she stepped into the medical model. I'm going to say something to you guys, and this is really important. If you want to do the medical model, I got it. I understand. Sometimes you get scared into it or you really, really want to do it. But here's the thing. If you're going to do the medical model, it's really, really important to realize that when you get into this medical model, you're in the medical model, and you have no idea what they're going to do to you when you're under anesthesia. In most cases, you sign off to these guys, and you tell them that whatever is wrong, they can fix it. Whether or not you have the ability to basically change it while you're under anesthesia, you probably don't. I mean, I remember last year, I had a dear friend of the show. She basically called me up, and her son had attempted to commit suicide by swallowing approximately, I'm going by memory, 150 of the 500 milligram Tylenol, and he was in a full-blown liver failure, and his enzymes and numbers were off the charts as far as bad. And I remember she called us up, and we prayed for her son on the show. And within days, he started recovering and got better. Guys, it's so important that we don't just run, first of all, to what's going on, you know, with drugs. Let me explain something to you. If you're a woman and you have a 1-inch size tumor in your breast tissue, that tumor has been growing approximately 10 years to be 1 inch in size. 10 years. So it's encapsulated itself now. It's been there for 10 years. If they say to you, you got to do something right now, you got to do something right now, you got to do something today, you got to do something today. It's been there for 10 years. Think through your treatment protocol options. In many cases, breast cancer has had spontaneous remission. It just goes away. It's just a fact. And I've seen that personally when a person changes their diet and starts doing heavy supplementation. Now, what's interesting about this is the medical model, this trillions of dollars a year, they want to scare you to death. They want to scare you to death. You got to do it right now, right now, right now, right now. You don't have to do it right now. I mean, what's the average life expectancy of a person with prostate cancer? Was it 20, 23 years if you undergo no treatment protocol for most cases? I'm not saying all cases. And then basically, if you take going into the treatment protocol, you may have 25 years, but you may not have a prostate. You may not be able to have relations with your wife for the next 25 years and all those other different things they don't bother to tell you about. I mean, guys, think through what you're going to do when it comes to your medical care. Think through all of it. I mean, there are all kinds of natural protocols that you can do to maintain healthy blood pressure, healthy blood cholesterol, healthy blood sugar, healthy body fat levels, healthy weight levels, healthy lean muscle weight levels. There's all kinds of natural things you could do with supplements and diet. I have another friend that I know. We call her the Botox queen. The girl gets more Botox than Carter's got liver pills. I've never seen anything like it before. She walks around like a complete zombie with zero expressions on her face. She must have every single square centimeter of her face shot with Botox. Well, guess what? She's had 2 bouts with cancer now. You say, well, is it related to Botox? I don't know. Botox is a neurological toxin. I have no idea why people want to use that to paralyze the muscles in their face. But she's had 2 bouts with breast cancer now, undergoing chemotherapy. Now she's got chemo brain, can't remember anything. And finally, I said to her, yesterday I was talking to her, I said, have you stopped the stupid Botox? I haven't done that for 6 months. I'm like, oh, there's something she's been doing for 10 years. And she had a big bout with shingles over the holidays on top of everything else. And I finally said to her, I said, you know, this is crazy. I said, it's like you've got this curse hanging over you. I said, you've got all these problems with cancer, all these problems. But I said, but what do you not get? What do you not get about injecting yourself with a neurotoxin, not eating clean, not taking your supplements correctly, and all the other things apparently you're involved in that are causing all of these types of cancers. Guys, here's the thing. We may have a genetic predisposition, but the studies have shown in epigenetics, that's only about 20% of what happens to us. The other 80% is based upon what we choose, what we eat, how we live, how we think, what we do, the supplements that we take. So that means you got four times as much of a chance of not getting cancer as you do getting cancer based upon what your genetics are telling you based on lifestyle choices. And the same thing is true with kidney function and all of it. If you're taking a whole bunch of doggone drugs to lower your cholesterol down and all these statin drugs, you're blowing out your kidney function, blowing out your liver function, you're blowing out your memory, blowing out your brain, and you start having all these health problems, what do you think was going to happen? What did you think was going to happen? Do you think I make all this stuff up? You know, in my Eat Clean and Be Healthy book, in my Breakthrough Health book, I list the top 10 drugs never to take. And I don't even go into detail on drugs. I just list the side effects. And some of them have pages of side effects. Pages of the top 10 drugs never to take. And I'm like, really? Are you really going to take this product? Are you really going to put this into your body? Guys, always get multiple opinions. If you're going to go through the mainstream medical $3.5 trillion medical monopoly complex, this money-making machine they put together, if you're going to go through it, make sure you get four or five physicians who all say the same thing, who don't have access to your prior tests. I'm going to repeat that. A lot of doctors will want to see what the last doctor said. Don't do that. Go get an independent person doing the same testing and get it checked. He may come up with a completely different solution. If you give him the answers to the test, he may say the same thing the other person said. Otherwise, he may say something completely different. I have a friend of mine call me up today in the hospital. Said to me, he goes, Ted, I admitted myself into the emergency 3 weeks, 3 nights ago because I was having excruciating back pain. The doctors had told me that I had herniated a disc, that I was having all these problems. I was probably going to have back surgery. He goes, they didn't know what to do with me. They told me to go to the hospital. I went to the hospital. He goes, my prostate has swollen up so much that it had backed the urine all the way up into my kidney. Now, I had nothing wrong with my back, though. The doctors told me I had back issues. It was actually urine backed up into my kidney. They had to catheterize me, which he said was horrible, and it drained my doggone kidney out and basically got the urine out and I no longer have any back pain. Now, what if he'd gone in for a back surgery? What if he'd gone in and some half-happy guy and said, I'm going to cut your back open right now. We're going to fix this mess. Where would he be right now? Guys, these guys routinely take out wrong organs, cut off wrong limbs. They've got to mark you. When you go in a hospital and they're working on a certain organ or a certain leg, or they're going to basically take something off, they have to write it down on the leg they're cutting off so they don't cut the wrong leg off. I mean, you'd think maybe they could tell that one of the legs was good and one was bad. They don't have to do that. So when you get these guys, these quacks, who cut off your left leg when your right leg was bad, and now you have to have both legs cut off. I mean, this whole thing is nuts. And so, please, I didn't mean to get into this oratory about this today. I don't know why I got started. I guess because I got my buddy from the hospital calling me. But guys, please, get multiple opinions when you start having health-related issues. Thank you so much. By the way, I've gotten tremendous feedback on the prayer that I prayed over you guys today, and I prayed over you guys, everybody again today, and I want you guys to know that I love you, and I appreciate it. I'm going to continue to pray for you and your families and God's protection over all of you. Austin, what's your first story, bud?
That was excellent, man. That was some really, really good info. I'm glad you brought a lot of that up because, you know, we've seen that so many times over here at Health Masters, is where people are having issues, something maybe minor,
right,
and it ends up going into some major operation when in some cases it was just something really simple they could have done. And you're absolutely right. I'm glad you called that out because I saw the same article that's been released now. They said, now, if the U.S. healthcare system was a country, it would have the fifth largest GDP in the entire world. At this point, only the United States, China, Japan, and Germany have a GDP that is larger than the $3.5 trillion U.S. healthcare market. That is how big it is. And what people need to be really, really understanding of is that the healthcare, although it should be the primal reason that most people should be in the healthcare industry, is to help people, to make things better. The problem is now a huge percentage of it is simply greed. When you have a $3.5 trillion market, you pretty much attract anybody and everybody that wants to make money. I mean, you're talking, I mean, more than a military budget multiple times. This is insane how much money is pushed into the healthcare industry now. But why? Because it produces so much revenue, and at the same time, It's a perpetuating model. It has continual repeat customers. When you get people that come into the doctor's office and they have some obscene surgery that they didn't need, then they have to go on 2 and 3 pharmaceutical drugs that they should never be on, then they have to go to doctor's appointments every month or every 90 days to get checkups on top of taking their pharmaceutical drugs. You literally build a customer at life out of necessity. They don't necessarily want to go see you anymore. They have to go see you because they don't know what's going to happen to them next out of fear. And they have to continue taking their pharmaceutical drugs. That is why we have an industry that's $3.5 billion built on healthcare, which is absolutely unbelievably out of control now. And at the same time, we see that marketing for the healthcare industry, marketing is over $30 billion. Dollars a year now spent on marketing, with a huge portion of that used on TV direct-to-consumer advertising, which, by the way, the United States is one of the only places in the entire world that allows pharmaceutical companies to do direct-to-consumer advertising to its consumers. Majority of countries have banned it. They've made it illegal because they know what it does, and they know the corruption and the greed and the lawlessness essentially it proves when you have pharmaceutical companies do this. Because at that point, there is no incentive to help people anymore. There is incentive to create diseases, to make pharmaceutical drugs, to keep people alive so they continue taking your pharmaceutical drugs. There is no incentive to cure people. There is no incentive to fix a disease. There is no incentive to make people's way of life better. It is simply to keep them on the pharmaceutical drug at any and all costs to increase your profitability to the company and the shareholders. That is their primary goal. And essentially, in my opinion, their only goal for a lot of these huge pharmaceutical companies. So just understand that, guys. When you go into this medical industrial complex, understand what you're going into. If you need to go into it, go into it. If it's something you need to do, that's fine. But know what you're walking into and understand that you're basically doing a deal with the devil in a lot of cases. Not all of them, but know who you're dealing with and understand what their primary and motivating goal is. And majority of the cases that I've seen, it is money and only money, not to make you healthy, not to make you happy, not to give you a long, sustained, prosperous, blessed life, but to simply keep you stuck in the circus wheel, the hamster wheel, so to speak, of the medical industrial complex, so you are a slave the rest of your life, and they will make tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars off of you alone until the day you die. And that is exactly what their overall goal is turning into, because you cannot maintain a $3.5 trillion industry unless you have a significant amount of people in that industry. And that is why so many people are becoming so sick, so just absolutely debilitated at such a young age now. It's so troubling to me to get phone calls and emails from people. They call me up and they say, I don't know what to do. I'm 35 years old. And I had high cholesterol, they said. I came in at 210, and I went into the doctor's office, and they told me I'm basically at risk for having a heart attack. They put me on a statin drug, and they put me on some other drug that I can't pronounce. Now I can't have relations with my wife. I have no energy. I can't focus at work. I feel horrible. All I want to do is sleep all day. I'm losing weight, and I don't know what to do. And I go, well, how'd you feel when your cholesterol was at 210? I felt fantastic. I had a ton of energy. I had really good energy. Everything was great. So everything was great until you started on the pharmaceutical drugs from the made-up cholesterol notion that high cholesterol essentially is going to give you a heart attack. Well, yeah, I guess if you put it that way, all right. Act accordingly. Figure out what you need to do with your doctor and go from there. But there's so many things, guys, that we continue to do from a health standpoint that can really help us out with long-term health. And in my opinion, one of those things is not going in the medical industrial complex unless you absolutely need to go that route. So I'm glad Dad brought that up today. And really, we do talk about it a lot sometimes on our show, but the reason why is because it's such an issue, hence the $3.5 trillion $1 billion market, and it's something that has to get brought up, especially with a lot of new customers, because so many people have been brainwashed and trained into thinking that is the only way to go. That's what they do, guys. That's what they do on the, with the pharmaceutical ads on TV. That's what they do when you go to your doctor's office. That's what they do everywhere you go. They tell you that's the only thing you can do. You got to go to the doctor. You got to get your shot. You got to go to the dentist. You got to get your fluoride treatment. You got to go to the doctor. You got to get your statin pills. You got to do all this right now, or else you're gonna die. That's what they always tell you. It's always fear. Everything's operated on fear. Don't operate on fear. Operate on health. Operate on energy.
Faith.
Operate on trusting God. And yeah, exactly. On faith. Operate on those things that can keep you happy and keep you healthy and keep you right with God and continue to give you a long lasting life. But side story, something else that I really wanted to bring up today, because I've had a couple people email me this, as I know we're seeing this circus clown act in D.C. now, but I've had a lot of people that have started to email me now and kind of say, hey, you know, I'm kind of not sure what to do. This isn't really a joke anymore. Today, essentially, is tied for the longest shutdown in U.S. history. Tomorrow will be the longest government shutdown in U.S. history, and it doesn't seem to be changing anytime soon. And I had some people ask me, they said, what do you think, in your opinion, is the priority? If, you know, we're not getting checks right now, what should we do? So I'm giving you my honest opinion, real short, real concise, what I would do if I was in the situation right now. I personally don't think, as you guys already know, this is not about a border wall. This is not about trying to make a point. This is about nothing. This, in my opinion now, is trying to see, A, who's going to be submissive first, and B, how bad they can punish the United States population for wanting to actually have some type of immigration control, and C, it's a way to further destabilize the United States. I told you guys last year, I've repeatedly said this, that something's big on the horizon. And in my personal opinion, I think this is being used as essentially a soft kill. This is a way to warm up the population to see how destabilized they can get it. The first thing that I would personally do right now, if cash flow is absolutely tight, savings essentially wasn't available anymore, and checks weren't coming in, and you're trying to figure out what to do with what you have, the first thing I suggest would be talking to anybody you owe money to, whether it be utility, mortgage, banks, credit cards, any of that situation right now. Majority of a lot of these companies know what's going on right now, and everyone knows what's going on, and a lot of businesses may have suggestions for you, mortgage companies, so forth, about giving you grace. Secondly, if you're really, really tight on cash, I would prioritize what I'm spending. And when I mean that, I mean cutting down everything right now. And you go, well, cash isn't super tight yet. Listen, don't wait till it gets super tight. I mean, don't be going out to the movies. Don't be going out to eat dinner. Don't be wasting money on things you don't need right now. Tighten everything up. If it gets real tight, prioritize your bills. You got to have utility. You really need to be able to have a vehicle if you have to travel, and you really need to make sure that a lot of essential activities are covered. Credit card debt and other things like that are not really a priority in my opinion. Again, this is something you guys have to figure out on your own, but this is for me. Making sure that you have the ability to keep your family safe. The next thing that I would do is, essentially, if I was involved in this right now, if I didn't have food already lined up, I would take any additional funds and basically purchase inexpensive staples, whether it's canned food, pasta, beans, dried beans, rice, fruit, vegetables, potatoes, pasta, peanut butter, oatmeal, flour, you name it, you know what you eat, and stock up on essentials right now. The reason why is because a lot of stuff, if this occurs in the next couple weeks and this continues to go through, things are going to start getting more and more difficult, and civil unrest is definitely going to be an option. Not saying that I promote that, but I'm saying it's going to be something that's going to occur in the near future if this doesn't slow down and they don't do something about this. If you don't have money to purchase food right now, I highly recommend you visit a local food bank before they get wiped out. I know Agape Food Bank over in Lakeland. I actually did some community service there when I was in college. They're in Lakeland, Florida. There's a lot of them all over the country, though, that'll really help you out. They have a lot of stuff there that you can usually use and eat, that's, and some of it's halfway decent as well. And also, too, I would contact local people around your area as far as local farmers and see if you can purchase basically meat, vegetables, see what kind of prices you can get on them. If you want, you can also get roast and have the grocery store butcher grind it into ground beef. I did that years ago when I was really training heavy. Buy a big roast, the butcher will ground it up in ground beef, and you freeze it and eat it as you go. But the primary thing thing you need to be thinking about right now is making sure you have staple items such as food and water. Because as you guys already know, they've blatantly said already, by the end of February, the food stamp program is no longer funded. No longer done. If this continues to go on and it continues to stretch out, the food stamps are going to stop. Once that happens, we got an issue in this country because we got 38 million people on food stamps right now. And that's going to be a problem real quick, on top of the fact of nobody getting income tax refund checks, on top of the fact of government employees not getting paid. All these things are going to accumulate into something way more extensive than I even want to address right now. However, I'm praying that it's not going to get that bad. However, we also have to look and see what we're dealing with right now is if Trump capitulates on this border patrol wall, on this border wall, which I hope he does not. I mean, it's just the way it is. He's going to look like a big, giant, basically softy, put it that way. Nobody's going to have any respect for him if they ever had any respect for him. And on top of that, he's not going to have any type of support base whatsoever anymore. Nobody's going to support him at all. He's going to lose everything he's possibly tried to get together, and it could possibly hurt the Trump movement and the Patriot movement as well. So this is something that we really have to have. We really need it. It really works, and we really have to continue to support it. It looks like Pelosi now is starting to soften her stance slightly by twisting it, saying she supports a technological wall, essentially of surveillance sensors and drones, instead of a hard physical wall, which, as you guys know, a drone wall and a sensor wall is not going to be any cheaper at all. Basically, you're doing a massive surveillance system, which completely goes down if there's no power. And on top of that, in my opinion, it's just going to be used to further encroach into the United States population to surveil the regular United States citizens. I don't absolutely support a giant, non-concrete, non-steel-based surveillance wall with cameras and drones around. You can use that stuff as additional if you need to, but a steel barrier wall is very effective. It has been for thousands of years. But I just wanted to kind of add that in there because I've had a few people bring that up, and listeners, that they're furloughed right now. They're not getting any pay. They're not getting checks. And so this is starting to actually wake people up, and this is why I've told people so many times, and I repeatedly say it, I'll continue saying it, it's so important that when times are good, we continue to make sure that we remain self-sufficient and don't become complacent with what we have and don't stay prepared at all times. Having food and water and proper shelter and the ability to be able to protect your family and support your family is so crucially important. A lot of people say, well, I'm on a really tight budget even when I'm getting paychecks and this and that, and I'm going from paycheck to paycheck. And I've seen people say that to me, but it's ironic. Then I'll see them out on the weekend going out to a restaurant, blowing $80, $90, $100 at the restaurant, or going to the bar and blowing another $100 at the bar at the restaurant. And I go, that's funny. You couldn't buy any food buckets. You couldn't buy any beans and rice, but you can blow $100 at the bar this weekend. Guess you're not that broke. That's the thing, guys. You have to prioritize this stuff before it starts getting bad. And when it starts to get bad, you have to prioritize it even more and cutting off all the extra fat, like cable. Most people pay $100, $150, $200 a month for cable and internet. That can get cut off real quick if you need to. Phones, you kind of need your phones, but you can also slow down the plans if you need to. Same thing with insurance. You can also drop down your insurance plans. Do a lower coverage on it, higher deductible, get your payments down on that. You can also refinance your vehicle if you need to. You can also work with credit cards and reconsolidate stuff if you have credit card debt. There's a whole lot of stuff you can do to get your finances back under control if you absolutely have to cut finances back like a lot of people are having to do right now. So that's why I just wanted to bring up that. So I wanted to add that in there because I've had a couple people ask me what they think the main priority is right now. And my thing is food and water should be your ultimate primary goal and let the other things fall into place and take care of them how you see fit.
Excellent, Austin. Also, you know, multiple vitamins. If you're taking Health Master supplements and all you can do is afford one thing, get the multiple. It's the highest quality multiple on the planet. I mean, if I had to take one thing, only one thing, I'd take the powdered multiple, but the capsule multiple is just as good. It just has some flow agents we have to put into to get into the capsules. I mean, I love both those products, and we have it on sale for like $20. $20 this month. So it's a phenomenal sale on top of everything else. And, you know, we're out of stock on them right now. We got some more in today. So, you know, so we'll be able to fill your needs on all that. But guys, Austin's right. Prioritize it. You know, you don't have to go to the movie theater that's $25 a piece to see a movie. You can wait till the DVD comes out, you know, or you can, you know, you don't have to have every premium channel on cable. My internet was so doggone expensive with my TV set. It was almost $300 a month. Because they kept raising the price, because they had a repeater they no longer offered. If I changed the plan, I was going to lose the repeater. I said, the heck with it. So I went and bought my own repeater, killed the plan, dropped it to $59 a month. Okay, so now I'm paying one-sixth of what I was paying, one-fifth. And see, this is what people need to understand. You can cut back. Years ago, I had a friend, and he basically lost his job. And he was making good money. He was making almost $500,000 a year. And it was head over heels in debt. And his monthly installment debt, just for basically buying stuff and on credit cards and cars and house payments, was $8,000 a month. $8,000 a month. And he didn't have a job. And he came to me and he goes, Ted, I need some help. And I said, well, Bud, you were making $500,000 a year. You know, why do you have car payments? I mean, your house isn't that expensive. Why do you have a house payment? I mean, why? But he bought all these things on credit cards. And all these, this is what they trap you in. They trap you in on making the smaller payments. So you don't buy something. You don't care about what the cost. You care about what the payment is.
Yep.
And that's what he got himself into. And so I looked at his numbers and I said, well, I cut it all loose. I worked on it for hours. And I got him down to about $2,500 a month. That was the minimum he had to have in order to survive. He had to cut out his $2,000 a month health insurance policy. He was spending almost $600 for internet and cable TV and channels and all that stuff every month. I mean, I didn't think he could buy stuff that was that expensive. He had health insurance. He had all this stuff. He had to cut it all out because nobody was sick in the family. And he could always, you know, you could go on, and now he'd go under Medicaid if he had to because he's basically unemployed. And I told him, dude, you got to cut all this stuff out. And I said, then if you had $3,000, it's only, you know, it's about a third of what you owe. And he goes, I'm not going to do that. And I said, then who's going to pay your next bill next month? I said, if you borrow the $8,000 this month, who's going to pay the $8,000 next month? I said, if someone's willing to give you $2,500 to try to help you out for a couple of months, who's going to pay your $8,000 next month? And finally, I think it clicked in. He started selling stuff and liquidating stuff and getting rid of promissory notes and installment debt. And he was able to dig himself back out of the ditch. But guys, sooner or later, you got to choose how you want to live.
Yep.
And see, I've done that before because business is cyclical. Some years are better than others. And I always tell people, let's say you make $50,000 this year, budget yourself at $50,000. If you make $80,000 next year, keep yourself budgeted at $50,000. And then if you drop back to 50 or whatever, then you're okay. It's when you start going up and up and up in promissory debt, it just doesn't work. By the way, this is an interesting story. Years ago, I was on a cruise in South America, and they absolutely wanted me to take a vaccine to go down there for the yellow fever. And I told them, I said, I'm not taking it. I said, this is a very serious disease, a very serious vaccine. And over in England, just this past week, leading cancer expert, he's 67 years old, described by the Duke of Cambridge as an inspiration, dies suddenly after a routine yellow fever jab, full organ failure within 24 hours,
wow.
Dead. I mean, this is nuts. And they're warning people now, hey, he had full organ failure after having the injection. Now, what I did is I was basically told to take this on this cruise ship, and I told them no, because I have a latex allergy, and almost all the shots for this thing go through a latex cork, and they inject it into your body, and so I was able to get out of that. And my wife has an egg allergy, and so she was able to get rid of it, not do it like that. And we had the doctor write us letters to get us away from all this stuff. Guys, when you start taking these exotic medications and vaccines like this, you got some side effects coming along with these things. Drop dead organ failure like within 24 hours. By the way, selfie wrist and text neck, screen addiction, macular degeneration and blindness due to blue light, insomnia, anxiety, brain cancer, and tumors ain't smartphones grand. That's what the article says. Selfies have become so popular that they actually receive their own National Selfie Day. Unfortunately, selfie wrist injury sustained taking too many selfies came along with it. I didn't even know this was possible. Increasing reports of selfie wrists are making the rounds again just a few months after Kim Kardashian West was diagnosed with carpal tunnel syndrome and ordered to stop taking selfies. Fortunately, Ms. Kardashian could afford to pay an assistant now to take photographs for her. You know, I would not believe this if I had not seen a girl one time in Greece when I was over there with Harrison on top of this restaurant on a roof literally take 200, 300, 400 selfie shots. She stood there literally for over 45 minutes shooting pictures of herself. I thought it was a joke. She didn't think it was a joke. I guess she thought she was hot. And the first 500 photos weren't enough. She had to keep taking them. And we sat there, and finally we all started laughing at her. The whole restaurant was looking at her, laughing at her. And finally she realized that she was getting laughed at. So she looked at us and just kept taking pictures. And now she was posing for us. And I think to myself, what the heck is wrong with these people? So when I read this stuff, it really makes me want to laugh a little bit, but it's sad. Also, guys, get a blue blocker for your screens, for your smartphones, for your iPads, for your Androids. Get a blue blocker. It's a piece of glass that goes over the screen. It's a screen protector, and it's a blue blocker. And turn the blue lights off on your Androids if you're not going to get the blue blocker. I was having problems with eye strain for months, and finally I got the blue blocker, and it completely and totally stopped. By the way, Rand Paul and Ron Paul now are saying, top of IR say that his announcement to withdraw from Syria is not serious. I called this out when he made this. I said I would believe it when I said it, when I saw it, and now they're not serious. Tucker Carlson calls for the president to support his supporters and use his constitutional powers to protect their freedom of speech. Guys, we have a lot of people now who are losing the ability to say what they think because they're being sanctioned. Tucker Carlson examines the massive suppression of free speech that has developed during the Trump administration by the communists. I added that. He asked viewers if they feel more free now than when they voted for Trump 2 years ago. He chronicles the many assaults against free speech for conservatives, and they are shocking when considered altogether. Beliefs conventionally described as conservative just 5 years ago are now described as terrorism, with white Christian males leading the foreground. Meanwhile, actual terror by the left goes unpunished, and Carlson gives an equally shocking sampling of those occurrences as well. So, guys, at least Tucker Carlson is out there trying to do something, trying to say something. By the way, President Trump's nominee for Attorney General, William Barr, guess what? He's close friends with none other than Robert Mueller. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Who are these people, and why do they keep getting in? And again, we need to – well, no, Dawson, it's absolutely ridiculous. Now Starbucks is now welcoming drug addicts and homeless people into their stores even if they're not customers and they're having disposable needle areas. I mean, this is just unbelievable. Oh, wow. Because what happened with these two men were asked to leave when they refused to buy anything. With a new policy in place, drug addicts and homeless are using Starbucks bathrooms to shoot up drugs. Just give them the keys. Go on in. When employees complained that they were accidentally poked by dirty needles in blood-spattered bathrooms, Starbucks installed needle disposal boxes in these bathrooms. This is just another reason. Another reason, out of the many reasons we've given you, that basically you don't go to Starbucks. And finally, government expert witness confirms that vaccines cause autism. Their own expert witness. Cheryl Atkinson reveals in her program Full Measure that a scientist was silenced by the government after reporting that vaccines can cause autism. Dr. Andrew Zimmerman was the government's top witness in a federal vaccine court case in 2007, and he testified that vaccines did not cause autism. Now he says that during those hearings involving more than 5,000 vaccine autism claims, he privately told government lawyers that vaccines did cause autism in some children. He says the Department of Justice immediately had him expelled from the hearings and then used a misrepresentation of his views to debunk claims against vaccines. In 2018, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. convinced Dr. Zimmerman to document his claim of government deception, which he did. Kennedy says that Congress is not interested in rectifying the problem because most congressmen are on the payroll, get this, guys, of the pharmaceutical industry. Guys, it never ends. The Rockefeller, Rothschild, petrochemical, pharmaceutical industry. By the way, the France yellow vest protesters are rattling elite rulers and bank presidents around the world and around Europe now by saying they're going to have a proposed bank run by pulling their cash out of the banks on Saturday. We'll see how that goes tomorrow. We'll see what happens. But now France is considering criminalizing anti-government protests that are not authorized by the government itself. In other words, we're going to arrest you if you say you don't like what we're doing. Protest leaders are being arrested during the night, coming in the middle of the night, banging their doors down, yanking them out, arresting them. They're not even protesting. They're being arrested. Yellow vests have unnerved globalists by supporting a plan to withdraw money from the banks and thereby crash the euro. Sentiment against globalism is uniting elements of both left and right in opposition to mass immigration. French President Macron, who will rule France as if he is a Greek god from the throne, has proposed debates instead of protests and announced 10 billion euros worth of government spending to boost the purchasing power of French households. Hopefully, the French understand that in order for the government to give them $57 billion, first it must take the $11 billion plus the handling charges, which are going to be taxes, which is awfully the equal amount. So, guys, this is nuts what's going on over in France. But I will give these yellow vest guys credit. They've had enough, and they're saying that they're not going to put up with this nonsense any longer. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, I'll give them credit. They need to start pulling their cash out now. They've already got a lot of people's attention, and now they're, what they're going to do is they're going to try to shut the banks down tomorrow if too many people do this, which is the point
that's
of
right,
bank runs,
right.
But they need to start early. Also, too, I got an email, too. The whole reason I did not know this, or the yellow vest, I assumed it was something around this. The reason why it started this movement is because any civilian in France that operates a motor vehicle is illegal not to have a yellow vest in your vehicle at all times, in your trunk. So if you become in a car accident or if you're broke down, you have to put the yellow vest on immediately, so I guess the other drivers don't run into you. So that's what started this. Is essentially, it was, you know, we are the basic citizens. We are the general population. We are the yellow vest. And I giggled when you said a minute ago when you said that they are going to ban any protests that are not authorized by the government, which is kind of ironic because then it's like, oh, you can't protest this topic. It's not approved by the government, so it can't happen, which completely and totally nullifies the whole idea of a protest. So I hope these guys keep it up. I wish we started seeing more of a movement, to be honest with you, over here in the United States like this, when we see these idiots like up in New York that are demanding that health care is a right of everyone. They're going to get free health care to the entire population of New York now, including illegal immigrants. We'll see what happens to that state in a couple years. I can guarantee you real quick, once a lot of the top-tier producers that actually make things and make money in that state start getting taxed huge amounts of money, which is going to happen. As he already said, you have to come up with the billions of dollars for the healthcare system. People aren't going to be dealing with it. They're going to move out. And this is what we've seen in almost all these states, specifically California and Michigan and all these states that start becoming real, real, real communist. People just start leaving them to make money because they've had enough of everything that's going on. Also, too, is it seems The Rock has had enough, the actual actor, he said he's had enough of all the snowflakes. I just thought this was a funny thing. He said, I don't have to agree with what somebody thinks, who they vote for, or what they think, but I will back their right to say it or believe it. So many good people fought for freedom in this country, but this generation is looking for a reason to be offended over anything now. It was, if you were not agreeing with them, then you were essentially offended, and that is not what so many great men and women fought for. We now live in a world that has progressed over the century, and that can only be a good thing. However, for the generation snowflake, or whatever you want to call them, they're actually putting us backwards because they have to find something to be offended about at all times, which I just thought that was a funny statement from him, as I've said that before. And but this is a whole part of the socialist mantra pushing into the communism of self-censorship. That's really what this boils down to, as we've talked about before. Also, too, Antifa now have started posting up different factions on social media, including Facebook, that they're now creating anti-fascist zones. One here said, here are anti-fascist zones in Washington for January 31st. Watch. Fascists that are located in these areas are free engagement, however seen fit. Text if you need support, and they have a map listed below. As you look at their Facebook page, it shows they've created a 5-page PDF, each page showing their new Antifa zone, which is essentially a no-go zone, because as you guys know, they're no racism, no Nazi, Antifa zone. All it is anybody that disagrees with their socialist ideologies, they call a fascist, racist, Nazi. We've seen that now. They have no hardcore beliefs of anything. They just believe they're socialist. Nobody can say what they don't agree with. If anybody opposes them, they're basically fascist, Nazi, racist. So now they're actually starting to put no-go Antifa zones up in these areas now. And as we've seen numerous times, these guys are a terrorist group. I wish Homeland Security and the FBI would actually do something about them, do something significant. I mean, we saw ATF pitch a fit in Waco and massacre 70-plus individuals, including men, women, and children, including ATF massacring multiple people up in Ruby Ridge of Randy Weaver's family because he allegedly had a shotgun that was a quarter inch shorter than ATF said it could be per Class 3 regulations. And so they decided to kill his family, same thing in Waco. But for some reason, the FBI and the ATF and Homeland Security refuses to do anything about these Antifa members when they show up with baseball bats, 2x4s with 16-penny nails driven through them, hammers, clubs, whatever else, other tools they want to use, including bags
steel
and bottles
pipes
of urine and feces. Yeah, they don't want to do anything about it. It's okay. You can do all that. And we've seen them rush free speech events as counter-protest is what they call them now. So interesting times we live in. Always be prepared. Always be ready for anything, guys. I hope this show has helped anybody as far as make sure you stay prepared. And of all things, try to stay out of the medical industrial complex model, Deb.
I agree. By the way, if you live in South Africa and you're a doctor, you're being told now, race row, South Africa's health officials advertise for 100 new doctors, but white people are told not to apply. Whoa. No white doctors allowed in South Africa. I find that interesting. Perhaps they could go get some of those really smart doctors out of Somalia. Just thought I'd mention that. That's a little private joke for me and you guys who know what the average IQ of Somalians are. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Be with us tomorrow. Thank you for being with us today. I have the opportunity and the privilege to pray for all of you again today, and I'll continue to do so, best of my ability. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for that. It means so much to us. It keeps the show on the air. God bless you. I love you. Austin, I'll do the write-up. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll talk to you guys on Monday. The weekend's coming up here, and so I hope everybody has a safe weekend. Do yourselves a favor this weekend. Button anything up that needs to be buttoned up and get prepared for next week and the weeks to come. If there is something that's going to occur, it's going to happen very, very soon, in my opinion. I'm not making any predictions because I have no idea what's in the future. Only God Almighty knows the future. But I do accurately and pretty strongly suggest that there is something on the horizon, and I suggest people stay prepared for it with your health, with your food, with your security, with your supplementation, with everything. So if you guys need anything, let us know, healthmasters.com. We're getting everything shipped out as quickly as possible right now, priority mail. We've been trying to do expedited shipping. There's been some people that have been stockpiling some of the Ultimate Multiple Whites on sale right now and getting it next day air. Do anything. You guys let us know. Whatever we need, we'll do anything to make it happen. Just give us a call. And we'll work with you guys. And we appreciate your support. As Dad said, even something as simple as buying one bottle of Ultimate Multiple helps support this show and keep us on the air. And we're going to continue doing this and keep on keeping on as long as we can physically do it. So I love you guys. I appreciate you. Thank you for all the support. Thank you for the emails. Have a blessed, safe, awesome weekend. Stay frosty. And I'll talk to you again Monday as always.